Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. Jeff, that is probably as good a performance Penn State versus Iowa, 31-0, as good as we've probably seen in the James Franklin era, especially with the defense.
Jim, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about. it was a very disappointing game to me. Penn State had one fewer turnover forced than the previous week. The rushing game was almost abysmal. Allen and Singleton combined were averaging about 3.2 yards per carry, a little less than that, actually. The kicking game was a disaster. A field goal missed and another one blocked. They got lucky with a penalty there. I mean, really, the only good thing – I mean, Aller struggled so much. 12 incompletions on the night, Jim. They finally had to bench him in the fourth quarter. And they're like, hey, we've got it. And so now we have a quarterback controversy. I mean, the whole thing just feels like it's falling apart here right before our eyes. And you just hope that somehow they were able to get things rectified as we move forward, Jim.
Fingers crossed that they could be competitive next week with Northwestern, Jeff.
You're just hoping. And the fear there is, of course, that they're going to be looking past that, getting ready for the big showdown with UMass. And so, you know, this whole thing could just quickly implode here, Jim. I'm very concerned. And listen, we talk all the time about you need to finish strongly, right? We talk about the fourth quarter being important. Jim, I don't know if you went back and looked at the statistics, but they actually gave up as many first downs in the fourth quarter alone as they had in the first three combined. The defense just completely fell apart in the fourth quarter. I just, again, I'm kind of beside myself.
And you know what, Jeff? It leads to the follow-up question, which is the obvious one. Is James Franklin coaching for his job next week?
I don't think there's any doubt about it now, Jim. And you're just hoping that somehow, some way, they're able to hold this thing together and that the fans at some point will be rewarded.
Jeff, how long do you think we could keep this up?
I could probably pull it off for the whole show, but it would be a struggle. No, listen, it really was. I mean, that team that we saw Saturday night is the team that I think we were expecting to see kind of from the get-go this season. I mean, that is what we thought this team had the potential to be, a team that could take control of the game. We thought this defense had a chance to be really special. I will say, I'll give myself props because I don't know if anybody else will, but I said I thought this game was a game where the defensive ends would come in and shine and we'd be talking about how much of an impact they had after the game, and that certainly is the case. I think the defense as a whole played phenomenal, but the defensive ends, this was a game where they were able to really become the disruptive forces that we thought they could be. And I just think, again, across the board, there are so many individual standout performances. I mean, Chop Robinson looked like Chop Robinson. I think that the entire roster, again, you can probably start going down and name after name after name. It's like, oh, yeah, no, that's what we thought we were going to get. Curtis Jacobs played out of his mind on Saturday night. And I just think, you know, the tight ends were phenomenal, both receiving and blocking. I mean, like phenomenal. And I just think, you know, the key now to me, Jim, is can this team really build on this? And it's going to be hard for us to know. I mean, even if they blow out Northwestern and UMass, it's like, well, okay, did they get substantially better there? I mean, I don't know that we're really going to definitively know that. But to me, that is the focus now, is you've got to be a much better football team, as good as they were Saturday night, in a month when you start getting to the whole crux of this season, which is Ohio State, and then, of course, the matchup with Michigan.
Yeah, this, Jeff, really was the last test prior to Ohio State. this was what would give us the most evidence of what we were going to see with this team. And I do want to get to the offense, but for a change, let's start with the defense, because this was their game. It truly was. And, oh, by the way, I just have another update here. Iowa still has not found the end zone, by the way. This is what Iowa's offense looked like through the game. The first drive, they had one first down. The second drive, one first down, and then they fumbled. Four consecutive three and outs to end the first half. First drive of the second half, another three and out. That's five three and outs in a row. The second drive, they finally broke up the three and out streak by fumbling on first down.
Yes, they did.
Jeff, it was quite a performance. They did not get a first down in the second quarter, in the third quarter, and actually their last first down until garbage time in the fourth quarter happened only 5 minutes into the game. So they almost went three quarters without even getting a first down. If that's not domination, Jeff, I don't know what is.
It definitely was domination. Here is the one thing I will throw in there, though, and I'm not trying to be the wet blanket here. I'm really not. But, and there's no question, Penn State's defense was fantastic. I mean, that is as dominating a game as I can remember between two Power Five teams, with one just completely controlling the overall game. That being said, Jim, as impressed as I was with the Penn State defense, I was aghast at the ineptitude of that Iowa offense and the seeming lack of any concept of how to play big-time college football with that offense. I thought the play calling was suspect. I thought the execution was horrible. I think, Cade McNamara looked, with the exception of the one, his one run, he looked like a lost puppy back there. It really was, on one hand, very impressive by the Penn State defense, and I'm certainly not taking anything away from that defense. They looked great, but I also think the Iowa City talk shows Saturday night and throughout the upcoming week have got to be pretty interesting talk, because I'm guessing there's not a ton of support and excitement for Brian Ferentz moving forward and what this offense is going to be capable of in the coming days and years.
They call it the drive for 325, which is the number of points that he needs to average 25 points, which has been written into his contract. And what dawned on me, and by the way, Jeff, for fun, you're right. It would be interesting to hear their radio shows, but thanks to the world of the internet, you're able to go see what the people from Iowa are saying, and it is phenomenal. I could not imagine being a fan of that team right now. And what was interesting, though, is it dawned on me that Penn State's offense and what they accomplished is what Iowa's offense wants to do. Iowa wants to grind you down. They want to run the ball over and over again. They want to have 12, 15 play drives, play keep away, and throw the ball when they have to. That's what that Iowa offense wants to do. They didn't have a prayer at it, though.
No, yeah, Penn State, it did seem like just stole the script from Iowa. We said going into the game that, Iowa's path to victory, if there was one, was they'd have to win the rushing battle. And I thought going in they'd have to win the turnover margin by two. I felt the Hawkeyes needed to be plus two in order to have a real chance to win the game. Obviously, they end up minus four. Penn State wins, well, every conceivable battle you can imagine statistically. And, yeah, there's no question that Iowa defense is good. I mean, it is. That secondary is exceptional. I think you probably saw, and I know Ohio State and Michigan are out there. I think you probably saw the two best secondaries in the Big Ten. And I can't imagine there are many, if any, secondaries better than the two we saw there on Saturday night. But over the course of four quarters, again, if you're out there for 75% of the time, which is what Iowa was on Saturday night, I mean, that's just absurd. And obviously, there's going to be some fatigue that sets in. And, you know, it's a little challenging. Part of what is amazing about Penn State's defensive performance is I think it is – we thought it might be more of a defensive-oriented battle on Saturday night. But that being said, I think it's easier on a wet turf. And, I mean, this is debatable, I guess, but I think it's easier for the offense to operate there. The defense, you're having to react, and I think it's harder to keep your footing when you're doing that. And so I give both defenses some credit there for their ability to shut down for chunks of the game anyway, or at least slow down, in Iowa's case, the Penn State offense. But yeah, what Penn State's defense did, Jim, and again, the ineptitude of the Hawkeyes notwithstanding, as you said, that is just as thorough of a domination as you're going to see in any game between two Power Five teams.
It was, Jeff, and we'll continue this in the second segment, but just to set it up, though, Penn State's defense, I thought, in the second half of last year, they broke the will of the other team's offense, and specifically the quarterbacks. That was the one piece that I thought was missing until now with this defense. And I'll actually give the specific play where I said to myself, there it is, that quarterback's broken. The first drive of the second half, it was third and long. He looked up, he saw the Penn State's defense, dropped the snap, barely covered it up, and I said, that's it. He's thrown the towel in. He doesn't want any more of this. He's saying no Moss, for those of you old enough to remember that reference. He was ready to hit the sidelines. He had it. And this is not a freshman quarterback. This is a veteran quarterback who our announcers reminded us. He's been in the Penn State and has won games there. Well, guess what? Cade McNamara, the rest of the Wolverines aren't coming in anytime soon to help you out here. I'm going to get you to react to that, my theory, Jeff, when we start segment number two.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We are talking about Penn State's absolute annihilation of Iowa the other night, 31-0 in a rainy whiteout. And, Jeff, when we finished up quarter number one, I was saying I thought the Penn State defense, they broke the will of Iowa. And the moment I said it was completely, this quarterback was done, was that first drive of the third quarter when he fumbled the snap. What do you say?
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I hadn't thought of it in those terms. I do think that start to the third quarter, if you're looking for the, you know, turning point of the critical juncture of the game, if you can find one in a 31-0 game that had as lopsided a statistics as this one did, you know, the fact is Iowa going into the third quarter was still in this game. And I think, you know, it was still legitimately a concern as to how the thing was going to turn out. But, you know, they talk all the time, Penn State does, about those 4 minutes before halftime and the 4 minutes coming out to start the second half. And I do think the start there to the third quarter was huge with the three and out and getting after the long sustained drive that Penn State put points on the board. And really, from then on, I mean, you just knew there was no chance of the Hawkeyes pulling, you know, something off like, oh, I don't know, my beloved Pittsburgh Pirates did on that same Saturday night with a rally for the ages. But yeah, this was not a this was not an Iowa team that was coming back, and you could see it. You might be right about that particular moment, Jim, but I was watching the sidelines pretty regularly in the second half, and you could just see the juice from the get-go in the second half, and probably from the start of the game. But I mean, I was really paying attention to just kind of body language as players were walking on and off the field. And you could just see that Iowa was a beaten team at about that midway point. Once Penn State took the 17-0 lead, it just, you never got the sense that Iowa was going to in any way be able to get back into the game. And Penn State obviously just never gave them that opportunity.
That's exactly right. And just the statistics from that third quarter are phenomenal. Without even getting into yardage, here's all you got to know. Penn State had drives of 15 plays, 12 plays, both ending up in touchdowns. Iowa had a three and out and a fumble turnover on first down in their second possession. Four plays versus 27 plays, Jeff, in that third quarter.
Yeah, it is not very often. I have to go back through the history books here, but I dare say it is not often, Jim, when you get especially Power Five teams playing one another, where one has seven times the number of plays as the other in a given quarter. It really was just as impressive as anything you know, we've seen in quite some time here by Penn State. And the nice thing, you know, I kind of opened up kidding around about how disappointing this game was from Penn State's perspective. That being said, in all seriousness, I do think there's plenty there for them to work on. You know, I don't think it's a game where they come out and they put on the film and it's like, yep, this is just, you guys have perfected it. You know, we just need to maintain and here we go. We're going to get the national championship. I mean, I do think there's a lot of things that they can go back and look at and say, listen, we got to capitalize on opportunities here. We got to be able to stay on a block a little longer there. I mean, I really do think there are some things that they can improve on moving forward. But again, that being said, this being the fourth game of the season, that is everything that you were hoping to see, I think, as a Penn State fan going into that game with Iowa and then some. And I just think it kind of reaffirms, should reaffirm the belief that many had that, listen, this could be a team, a playoff team, a Big Ten championship caliber team. That Saturday night is the first time this season that you felt like, okay, no, that's it. That's what we were waiting to see. That's the team that could do all of the things that we've been talking about this team being capable of doing.
And Jeff, we'll get to a couple, we'll nitpick maybe next quarter, but let's stay on the positive side. And this was an offense that did put up 31 points, and I'll do the glass half full now, which is 31 points without having a 20-yard play from scrimmage, either running the ball or throwing the ball. And part of that, you know, you could talk about the weather. If y'all remember a year ago against Northwestern in similar kind of conditions, I believe that the final was 17-7. They didn't put up 31 points and they weren't playing against a defense as stout as Iowa. What I was impressed with, first of all, they didn't get big numbers from Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, but I thought they maxed out most of their opportunities, Jeff. If there were 5 yards to be had on a carry, I felt like they got them.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the other thing that I was really impressed with Penn State was the ability to play a pretty clean game. James Franklin has talked, and lots of other coaches too, about if a defense can keep the plays in front of them, right, it is really hard for an offense to put together a 12 or a 15 play drive without making a mistake or two that ends up costing you the drive, whether it's a penalty, a turnover, a couple of missed assignments, whatever. The consistency with which Penn State, and really they've done this now the last few weeks, but they have been able to move the ball consistently and put together good long drives. And I do think when we talk about what the season's going to come down to, Ohio State and Michigan, you put together a drive or two like that in those games, and you give yourself an excellent chance of walking out of there with the W.
It seemed like the formula was, as they had those, as I mentioned earlier, 12-play drive and 15-play drive in the third quarter, the model was, you know what, we're going to try and run it down your throat. You know we're going to try to do that. We were still effective at it. However, if we ever come up to a situation, we're so trusting of our quarterback to get us that third or fourth down completion, and Drew Aller has been able to do that. You know, my question is that what this offense has become, Jeff, that it's not going to be the explosive big play? It's going to be, we're going to take 10, 12, 15 plays and march it down the field, and we're not going to make a mistake on the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they certainly obviously do have that capability. We saw that. We have definitive proof of it now. I still think this offense, and I know we're, whatever it is, a third of the way through the regular season and you're not seeing it. I still think you are going to see big plays coming. I mean, I just think Nicholas Singleton is too good of a running back to not have some long touchdown runs. Long being, 50 yards, 60, 70, 80 yard type of touchdown runs. And Aller and his ability to air the ball out, I think the defenses are going to have to play Penn State, I think, pretty true. And I think that is just going to open up a lot of opportunities as games unfold. I think defenses will try to pick their spots here against Penn State. And I just think it's kind of a matter of time here until they do hit for some big plays. But I will say, if you're asking me, would I rather have a team that to this point has shown that it can hit big plays against the opponents Penn State has faced so far, but an inability to put together sustained drives, or vice versa? I feel much better about the team that can put together the sustained drives and you feel like has the big play capability that this one does. I think Penn State has put itself exactly where it needs to be to give itself, a chance to be one of the top contenders here when the season comes to an end.
I'm with you, Jeff, and I know, as you said, we're a third of the way through the season, and we haven't really seen those big plays happening. But I'm confident in Drew Aller. What I also think, though, is they're missing Trey Wallace. It's having that second wide receiver that the defense has to worry about, two threats that could go deep. So along with Lambert Smith, you have another guy that if you emphasize one, you got to worry about the other getting behind you. I'm not sure they have that right now. I know Wallace played, and Omari Evans, who's potentially the other home run hitter, also got in the game, but they really weren't there. They didn't. I haven't seen the number of plays, but I think it was very few.
Yeah, they were not out there a ton in either case. And I still think they have I still like that they have as many different receivers as they do, who I think are capable of doing good things. I think they obviously, I think because of the lingering injuries or whatever it is, I mean, I think Dante Cephas is getting a little more involved, or at least was last night. And I think that is going to pay dividends for the program moving forward for this team for the rest of the season. But I also think that with what they have at tight end, and you know, you throw Dinkins into the mix now, obviously, too, with maybe, again, if you're looking for play of the game, there's probably about three or four you could choose from. But you know, that his touchdown catch was on the fourth down was a big one. But obviously, with what Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren bring in terms of their pass catching ability is pretty special. And I do think, I think this team is positioned well. It'll be interesting to see kind of who emerges in the receiving corps statistically, if anybody does down the stretch besides Lambert Smith. But again, Aller's ability to see the field, this offensive line's ability to give him time to see the field, and all of the different components that they have and we've talked about, but now we're starting to see with some consistency here. Again, to me, this team is just well positioned to be a nightmarish matchup for opposing defenses as, you know, they get to the second half of the season here.
All right, Jeff, that is it for quarter number two. Quarter three, I want to start highlighting some of the individual play from this game. Stay tuned for that.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking all things Penn State, Iowa from the other night. The annual whiteout game did not disappoint. Penn State routing Iowa 31-0. And I don't even think it was as close as the score, Jeff. And it was as dominant a performance, especially on the defensive side. What I'd like to do this quarter is pick out some of the individual players that really stood out. I'm going to start, though. We always have to talk about Drew Aller and his performance. And once more, his poise and patience, Jeff, not to force anything, was just phenomenal in my mind. I think for a young quarterback with the arm capability that he has, to be satisfied marching the team down the field the way he did is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And he just seems in command of the offense, understanding what it is they need him to do. And his ability to distribute the ball, Jim, is still, to me, as impressive as any of his other many gifts. But he just has a great feel for the game, and obviously has all of the physical tools that you would want. And, you know, the other thing is, I mean, it's easy to look back now and, you know, yeah, Penn State dominated from the start. Well, they didn't. That the first few series, you're like, oh boy, this could be a really long, tough night. I mean, I don't think you're like throwing your hands up that the Penn State has no chance, but I mean, it felt like this could be a slugfest and a field position game. And really until the turnover there on that shovel pass, and to me, that kind of started flipping the entire script around here on Saturday night. And obviously Penn State, you know, kind of took control from that point on. But if you go back, I mean, Iowa was winning the field position battle off of the first couple of series there. And that shovel pass was going to give them another first down. And, you know, I think they were hoping to get the early lead, obviously. But the turnovers just were a killer for Iowa, among many other things. But I actually, from an individual standpoint, Jim, and there's a lot of great individual performances, but I actually defensively think it all started with Manny Diaz. We've talked about how I think he can use a lot of different schemes with the personnel they have, and I think that's got to be exciting for him because I think they have so much depth along the defensive line, so many different ways you can use the linebacking core, and as we keep talking about, a secondary that just is right there with the best in the country. And I think some of the schemes, you know, for as harsh as I am on Iowa's offense, I do think a good bit of it was Penn State's defense just not allowing them to get into any rhythm on Saturday night. And again, a lot of individuals stepped up in a big way, but to me, it all started with the positions that Manny Diaz was creating for his players.
I want to ask you more about that, but I do also want to point out before we get away from Drew Aller, it was that ball control offense until you needed to see his arm talent, and then he showed it. And the fourth down, when they didn't quarterback sneak it, his confidence throwing that touchdown pass to Dinkins, I just said, there it is. That's the arm talent that we always talk about.
No question. And he had a couple of other ones on Saturday night where, I mean, he fired the ball where it needed to be. And, you know, the touchdown pass to Lambert Smith was a pretty special pass in and of itself. And he's shown that ability now a couple of times to just drop that ball like perfectly, like you couldn't place it in the hands any better. And I just, there's no question that he is just a really special talent. And I think Penn State is putting him in good positions here to use that talent. But the biggest thing to me, Jim, is still that he has zero turnovers. I mean, Penn State is the only team now. Oregon, I think, did get picked off, if I'm remembering right, on Saturday night. So Penn State now is the only team that has no turnovers in, you know, Division I FBS college football. That is a remarkable statistic, and I do think it is a big part of why Penn State is where it's at, but an even bigger part of why I think they can get to where they want to go. You take care of the football like that, and you can't do any better than Penn State's offense has through four games. And again, that's with a first-year starter at quarterback. That is, I know the zero turnovers doesn't get people excited as much as the, you know, 70-yard touchdown pass and that sort of thing. But I'm telling you, in terms of winning games, that statistic there is as big as any that Penn State's put up through the first 4 weeks.
It is, and it's not just that they have a first-year quarterback. He's not looked at as that game manager whose, son, just go out there and don't turn the ball over and let the rest of the team win it. No, he's a guy that is capable of winning games for you, and he's still not forcing the ball, which says a lot about him, Jeff. I want to highlight some of the other players still on offense. You alluded to them earlier, which is the tight ends, who really came up big in this game. Three touchdown catches. I have to quick go look at my notes to see how many completions they had, how many catches. But it may, their blocking may have been even more important than their receptions.
I completely agree with you. Yeah, I'm just looking. I think it was 9 catches in all in the game. But yes, you are exactly right. And by the way, a couple of those catches were spectacular catches. The one that Johnson had over the middle there, I'm forgetting if that was late third or in the fourth, but where he just kind of reached up and snared it was a pretty spectacular catch. But yes, I agree. They're blocking. You go back and look at some of the key runs in that game that kept drives alive, and it was the tight ends that were leading the way. And Warren got a couple of those fourth down conversions with his ability to push Drew Aller forward. So Yeah, I mean, those guys were a huge, huge part of the success. And it's kind of funny now that we're four games in, to look back and say and think about how after that first game, it's like, well, I think they'll get the tight ends more involved here. And by the way, against West Virginia, and I think we even talked about it then, they were involved in terms of, again, that blocking is a big, big part of the equation. And I just, it's been a while, maybe since Kyle Brady, that they've had, and Brady was one guy. I mean, I think they have, two guys that are great blockers and great receivers. Usually you have guys that can be maybe great at one and pretty good at the other. I am telling you, those two are great at both. And I'm not sure that Dinkins is far behind in either category there. It is a remarkable tight end room that Penn State has right now.
Yeah, and by the way, I do have it in my notes. 9 catches, 60 yards, 3 touchdowns combined for the tight ends. A nice day for any position group. Let's flip this over now to the defense, Jeff. And you mentioned the defensive ends earlier. And through the first couple games, it wasn't that they didn't have an effect on the game, but it just didn't stand out. I think quarterbacks were trying to get rid of the ball so quickly. This was a case where not only did they have an effect on a game, but we saw a little new twist to it where all three of the stud defensive ends were in at the same time. Now, I thought we might see Denai Dennis Sutton in, you know, playing tackle.
Yeah.
Instead, it was Chop Robinson. And I think it worked out pretty well, Jeff.
Yeah, not too shabby. Again, to me, that the, and I keep talking about it, I think there were like 4 or 5 plays, and they always say, I mean, coaches always say there's 4 or 5 plays that decide every game. And I do think there's kind of 4 or 5 that you could point to and say, boy, that's where Penn State turned it around. To me, where it started, the domination started, was that Denai Dennis Sutton getting the turnover, forcing the fumble there after what, again, was going to be a first down on what was a pretty slick shovel pass by Iowa. And again, at that point, it's scoreless. At that point, Iowa was winning the field position battle, and you felt like, hey, if Iowa can come down here and score, again, I was giving itself a real chance here to at least hang in there and try to pull off the upset. And, Chop Robinson just had one of those games that the great ones can have. They were all just sensational. And, I think we had talked the previous week about on the other side of the ball, it was like, boy, there was just one breakdown here and, a drop pass there, a missed pass, overthrown ball there, a missed blocking assignment here. And this game, defensively, it was like the exact opposite of that. It's like, not only did all of these guys handle their duties okay, it was that they were all playing at like that exceptionally high level pretty much from the start and right through the end of the game. And I just, I know because Iah Izzard, I thought when he was in there, to go to the interior too, and the defensive ends rightfully are going to get a ton of credit. But I actually thought Penn State, again, just across the board, did a really good job. And I think the defensive tackles, when they were in there, and they weren't always in there, as you said, they were mixing up the personnel and the schemes pretty well. But I thought Penn State did a really good job of understanding its roles, each player understanding their role on defense. And I thought, again, the DN certainly stood out. I just think everybody on that Penn State defense did a really good job of stepping up and having just a great, great night.
Very good, Jeff. I'll tell you what, I want to continue the conversation about the defensive tackles when we pick things up in quarter number 4. It's funny, as you said, the defensive ends, they get credit. They're playing the more glamour position, not so much the defensive tackles. but I'm going to share a statistic with you when we come back that will highlight the tackles. Stay tuned.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State, Iowa from the other night. Complete domination and a lot of different statistics to talk about, Jeff. But here you had a team in Iowa. They want to run the ball, right? That's what they want to do. They want to force their will on you. This is what Iowa's rushing attack looked like. You mentioned earlier, Cade McNamara had that one play, broken play. He ends up running the ball for 18 yards. 18 yards on one play from the quarterback. 18 yards, Jeff. Total rushing yards for the game for Iowa was 20. Okay, 20. Now, that includes, you know, sacks are built into that also. But on the ground, other than that one play, Iowa had plus 2 yards. Plus 2 yards, Jeff. That's a team that prides itself on running the ball.
Yeah, it was. And listen, on one hand, it was kind of funny. I was joking with somebody afterwards, like, oh, man, I thought Iowa would try to run the ball more. They only had 17 rushing attempts. You got to understand, they only had the ball. Now I'm forgetting what it was. It was like 30. I forget what they ran. 30. Or it was around 30 plays anyways.
It was to get it down. Plays run. 97 to 33. Time of possession, 45 and a half minutes to 14 and a half minutes. Second and third quarter, Iowa had the ball for 13 plays. That's half of the game. 13 plays for Jeff, minus 12 yards.
Yeah, I mean, it really is just insane. But the other part of that, Jim, is with the, because you're right, the net yards rushing includes the sacks and everything. The yards gained rushing, so the net yards obviously includes the sacks and the yards lost. But on 17 carries, they gained 47 yards, and then obviously lost 27, both on carries and sacks throughout the course of the game. But, I mean, the total positive yardage on the plays where they had positive, and again, that wasn't all of them, but even there, you're talking about holding a team to that wants to run the ball, and that's going to be their bread and butter, to less than 50 yards for the game. And I think even more so, right? Iowa wants to run the ball, period. But when you're talking about a wet turf and you're on the road, even more determined were the Hawkeyes that they have to get the running game going. And yeah, I just think Penn State did as good a job as you could possibly envision a defense doing in terms of being ready for everything that Iowa threw at it. And I did think in those first two series that Iowa, it looked like they actually did have a game plan and maybe even one that could have some success. And then I just think Penn State's defense stood up with after that first turnover. It just seemed like from then on, there was just never a point where Iowa looked like it was even close to getting back in rhythm.
You hit it exactly. And I know we're throwing a lot of numbers out, but these numbers are so outstanding that you have to highlight them. You mentioned how many positive yards they had rushing, you know, eliminating the sacks from it. Well, let's take the quarterback out. Let's just talk about the running backs. They had a total of 12 carries for 27 yards with a long of 7 yards. That's so, again, taking this conversation back to the defensive tackles, those are the guys who are clogging things up. Even if they are not getting credit for the tackle, Jeff, they're the ones who are clogging everything up. And remember, that was our fear about this defense, was somebody going to bully them, you know, like Iowa, who's just going to be intent on running the ball and establishing that. And quite simple, and credit to the defensive tackles of Penn State, they didn't even come close to accomplishing that, Jeff.
No, and I think Penn State really utilized its speed on the defensive side of the ball to disrupt the Hawkeyes offense. And again, the tackles certainly deserve credit for that. But I also loved the way they were using the defensive ends, putting the defensive ends in those tackle spots, and even the linebackers. I mean, there were several times last night or Saturday night that they were using, you know, they had 6 linebackers out there and 3 linemen, but they were bringing them all up to the line of scrimmage. And I just think when you're bringing that much speed, again, it doesn't matter what kind of power advantage you have, because those guys are in the backfield too quickly. And I thought Penn State, the other part of it, though, is if you're going to do that, right, you leave yourself susceptible to allowing a big play to pop against you. If they hit the right hole and you're not having gap assignment there. So it's not just that you have speed and you're flying in there, because if you're doing that and you're not taking care of your gap responsibility, again, the opportunity is going to be there for the opponent to get, you know, big plays the other way. What was it there, Jim? 7 yards was the long run for a running back.
Yes.
In the game Saturday night. I mean, that is, again, you're just not going to find better statistics, maybe in any game, but certainly not in a game involving 2 Power 5 teams.
Exactly it, Jeff, exactly it. And I want to go off the field just a little bit, because you were there, Jeff, white out. I think that some folks had this fear of, with the rain, that'll hold down the crowd, maybe not the same atmosphere, maybe a little difficulty getting everybody in white. What was it like, Jeff, actually?
It really is. I mean, it has just become such a spectacle, and I keep waiting for it to, okay, this is starting to get a little tired, or this is, you know, we've been here, done that. It just never has that feeling. And I think part of it is that you only do this once a year, the whiteout. I do think it might lose some luster. I know there have been people that have asked me, you know, well, why don't they do that a couple of times a year? Why couldn't you do it for Michigan too? And I just think part of what keeps it as special as it is you do it once a year. And I actually think the rain and the atmosphere there actually made it even a cooler spectacle, because when it is raining, you feel like you're kind of in this together. I feel like as fans, it's like, all right, we got to endure this and be there for the team together. But it also, because of the white, it's like glistening. Like that was the thing when I walked into the stadium, and I walked in a little later than I usually do up to the press box. And I'm looking out and I'm like, man, this is like popping out even more than usual. And it always pops. But I think because of the, again, it's like that glistening, the light is reflecting off of the water and the white, it just seemed even brighter than usual. And I do think the fans are like, hey, we've got to create our own warmth and energy. And they certainly did that. I mean, it really is a really special event that Penn State has been able to put together. And, you know, I think, was it Chris Fowler that dubbed it the greatest show in college football? Whoever. I mean, it is. It just is a completely unduplicated. You just can't duplicate the feeling around that atmosphere. And again, it helps when you have a team that people are as excited about as the fans are with this year's squad.
And I think it's also interesting now that you have, you know, besides Fox, you have NBC, you have CBS. Now, we talked about it with the West Virginia game with the helmet strike. It was as close to a whiteout as you can get without a whiteout. You know, the outstanding weather, first game of the season, a team everyone's excited about. So you still had that excitement that came with it, and you had the idea of NBC covering it for the first time. This time around, you had CBS getting their bite of the apple, their chance at being able to talk about the whiteout. So you've got a fresh set of eyes who are now sharing this with the millions of people who are watching. So for them, it's not old either because it's so new to them, Jeff.
I think you're exactly right. And that probably, yeah, from a viewership standpoint, probably makes it all the more entertaining. And I will say, I don't know how the recruits, the whatever it was, 100 plus recruits that Penn State had on campus this Saturday could have come away anything other than impressed, both with the program, the team, and certainly the atmosphere and what the fans in Happy Valley are able to bring. I can't imagine that there aren't a few of those kids that were sold here on Saturday night that, yeah, I think Penn State will be the place for me. That works.
Well, we, I believe it was Blue White Illustrated put out an article with a set of reactions from players that were there, recruits that were there for it. And you got the reactions of, you couldn't even hear yourself think, that type of thing. But what I think impresses me the most is some of these players saying, oh, it was so great. The fans recognized me, came up and said things to me, you know, were cheering, were telling me, come to, you know, Penn State, all those things, which is a little bit beyond your normal fan, you know, that they recognize who these guys are and make it extra special for them.
And don't think that that doesn't have an impact on these guys and where they want to go. And yeah, I just think, again, this is has been nothing but a good thing for Penn State. I know the overall record is whatever it is. I think it's at 11-8 or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Under James Franklin, they've only lost the one, and that was a heck of a ball game. I mean, that whiteout game has been nothing but beneficial in every way imaginable under James Franklin here at Penn State.
And remember, they're always taking one of the toughest games of the season. It typically had been Michigan or Ohio State. And by the way, just one last thought. This fact that it's been, you know, Minnesota, Auburn, Iowa, takes nothing away from it. It really doesn't, Jeff. So it's an event every year, and it's on the bucket list, I think, for a lot of college football fans. We are just fortunate enough to have it ourselves. Jeff, that is it for the show. Thank you so much, and thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.